Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, baby!
Hello, all you rockers. Who's ready to rock? We are ready to rock, and the podcast will rock. That's right. It is the show that dives into one of the greatest bands of all time, Van Halen. We discuss their discography, all the tracks, random tracks. We spin the wheel and we talk about it. That is the gist of the show. But if you are a frequent listener, you already know. I hope you're ready to rock because I know I am. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer. With me as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, are you ready to rock?
I was born ready, my friend. It's been a great week here at and the Podcast Will Rock. We're launching a website, podcastwillrock.com. Right now, there's not much on it, but we're going to have forums where people can leave comments, let us know what they think of the show. Tons of people have been listening lately, so thank you so much for checking us out. And hopefully you'll keep checking us out as we go on this journey, 120 episodes through the entire discography of the mighty Van Halen, and even our friends at Pot of Thunder, who we've lovingly completely ripped off with the format of the show, has given us a shout out and a blessing, if you will. So we're very appreciative of that. But and even the weather's warmed up. I know I've talked about in the last few shows, it was minus 50 something last week. This week, Fahrenheit, we're at 8 degrees. So it's shorts weather. Here right now. No one's wearing coats. It's absolutely fantastic. How are things in your neck of the woods?
Well, last week we got hit with snow apocalypse 2022. We're in a new year. And in my part of the world, that is, it's not super rare, but it's usually pretty unheard of. The unheard of part is we got about 7 inches of snow. That's unheard of. And I know, Corey, you're probably scoffing like 7 inches. That's springtime. Whatever.
You Americans, we're not in the Great White North. We've long eclipsed that.
If it makes you feel any better, there are northern states that are that was laughing at our 7 inches as well. And I know like the New England area specifically got hit with a snow bomb that they're absolutely used to. And they're used to, you know, just their waist deep in the flurries and in the snow and in the ice. And that's all well and good. But I live in the southern United States where things like that just don't happen. And one thing we are used to is right after the snowpocalypse came and went, and it came and went in about 2 days, it was suddenly no jacket weather. So you explained that one to me because I certainly can't. And I've been living here for 34 years now, and I've still not been able to figure it out. So that is the weather update. And by the way, apparently we're supposed to get more bad weather this weekend, which is wonderful because I am in the last leg of my move. I just have to move the big, heavy furniture items, and I was going to do it this weekend. And they are projecting super bad weather. So yay me.
Well, I'm glad you're finally at the end of this odyssey because you've been moving now for quite a while. So the lights at the end of the tunnel.
It's been a journey.
But all the big, heavy furniture, man, you left that to the end. That sucks.
It does suck. And I wish I hadn't done that. But at the same time, there was no time. You know, I have a day job as well. And that day job does not leave or it hasn't left a lot of room for flexibility in terms of moving big, heavy furniture. So you take what you can get. You use your time off, like your weekends and what have you. And this is just a part of life. And unfortunately, life decided to roll the dice, and it's been snake eyes every time. And if you're not a gambler, snake eyes is bad. You don't want to roll snake eyes. It's fine. But you know what you do want to roll? You want to roll a wheel. You want to roll a wheel that is going to give you a really rocking track of Van Halen tunes. And that's what we're here to do today. We're here to spin the wheel, rather, and see what the wheel is going to give us to discuss today. As I mentioned at the top of the show, it's random. We don't know what song we're going to talk about. We just know it is a Van Halen track. It could be one we are familiar with. It could be one that kind of slipped through the cracks and we're not entirely familiar. Or it could be one that we didn't even know existed whatsoever. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to listen to it and talk about it. Now, I have to mention this. Last week, we got our first Sammy Hagar tune.
No, last week was Last week we had
That's right, we did. We went back to the Raw. So if you were you tuned in for us for the Sammy song, you know we were excited, and that was a good time. So, but last week we got another Roth tune. And this Roth tune, I believe, is this the first time you and I were divided on the yay and nay?
That's right. Yep. I voted yay, you voted nay on Honey Baby Sweetie Doll.
That's, of course. How could I have forgotten that? I forgot the title like multiple times during the episode because it's just like I don't want to remember that. I think maybe a lot of that probably had to do with my decision at the end of the track. It's like, why would you name this song this horror, whatever? But we had mentioned my lovely lady Christy. Special shout out to her as well. And the question was, I wonder what side she is going to fall on when listening to this track. Corey, do you think Christy was pro-Corey or pro-Mark?
Well, I don't...
With all biasness out of the way.
All bias out of the way. I don't know Christy that well. Uh-huh. We've kind of chatted over in chat rooms while you were doing your dives back in the YouTube days. Just became Facebook friends, but I don't know her that well. But knowing that she's, dating you, I'm thinking you guys your musical tastes must be fairly aligned. So I'm going to guess pretty certainly that she was Team Mark on that one.
Mm. Well, Corey, it might surprise you. She was actually Team Mark. Yeah, yeah, she was Team Mark. She was way more harsh about the track than I was. I had some good redeeming things to say about that song. She had none. So that's how the saga ends on that one. But I guess it's now become a bit within the show that when my lady listens to the show, what side she's going to go with, because her knowledge on Van Halen tracks is a lot less than ours. So it's interesting kind of seeing her perspective from the other side as a listener to these tracks that we're listening to, because sometimes we're all listening with fresh ears, sometimes not. So that was her vote. She was not a fan. Neither was I, but I was less harsh about it.
Now, has Christy been a fan of any of the songs that we've done?
Yes, of course. I mean, the classic ones that we've done, Hot for Teacher, for sure. You know, she was into Running with the Devil, obviously. And like the Roth tunes. Now, again, I've mentioned she and I are very much in tune with the whole we are pro Hagar. We think he's the better songwriter. That does not mean that we hate the Roth era. Please don't get that twisted. We don't. If I did hate the Roth era, we wouldn't be doing this show. There'd be no point. Yeah. Because it's classic Van Halen. So, I mean, she enjoys the classics, but the new stuff, let me rephrase, the last album that Roth did that apparently the wheel just wants us to keep uncovering in that album, she has not been a fan of any of those tracks. I don't know if that's a Roth thing, or I don't know if that's just a modern-day Van Halen thing, but she's not into it. She was not into the Gary track either.
Not a lot of people were on that particular Gary track. There's been a great Twitter thread that we're involved with today talking about Van Halen 3. Somebody showed a picture of their CD collection, and it had every studio album but Van Halen 3, and the question was, should I add it? And for the most part, out of fans, they were saying, yeah, you should. There's a couple of good songs that are redeemable on there, but Dirty Water Dog is not one of them. So...
I don't blame you. I do not blame you. Sometimes the people in the Twitter threads are onto something, and they're definitely onto something there. So that's what it is. That's how it goes. That's what's been going on, and that is where we're at.
I got to tell you one thing, Mark. I feel a little ganged up on here between you and Christy being so closely aligned on this. We're working on a special guest for next week's episode number 10. And they actually reached out to us and said, if you ever want us on as a guest, let me know. And immediately said, yes, how about episode 10? So we're not going to spoil it here, but there might be somebody coming in. And I think they align more with David Lee Roth than they do Sammy Hagar. So, I won't feel so ganged up on here with the two of you crapping on my man Diamond Dave and going with Sammy.
Well, crapping is a strong word, but thank you so much for bringing that up. Yeah, we will have a special guest coming up soon, coming up next week, and that is going to be a very fun time, our first guest on the show. Tune in for that, and also, you guys, tune in to the end of this episode, because we have another announcement, but we'll get there. Yep. We'll get there. It's very exciting, but we'll get there. Stick around, and in the meantime... Corey, what do you think the wheel's going to give us tonight?
Oh, boy. I've given up guessing. We've had three different kind of truth songs. Two, of course, from the first album, and just a mismatch. So, last week I said I was kind of in the mood for something, Fair Warning. I kind of want a big song this week. I'm really kind of hoping. We've already had Hot for Teacher. We've already done Running with the Devil.
Yeah.
Maybe give me a big Hagar song. Give me a Finish What You Started. Something like that.
Ooh,
that's kind of what
that
I'm
popped
for.
On the that popped on the radio the other day, and I know I had said last week that I'm not going back and replaying the tracks because I just want to go into the show feeling fresh, feeling it, or just using my knowledge that I already have of the tracks that I know, and just go into it that way. But I couldn't help but finish out the song as it was on the radio, and I don't listen to the radio often. You have to. It's so good. It's so catchy. That would be a really good one to talk about. I'm with you on that one. I think we need a big Hagar tune. I'm gonna shoot for the stars, and I'm gonna say we need to hear Dreams.
Ooh.
We need to hear Dreams.
That would be a good one. That is a part of our voting procedure now. Dreams is now the thumbs up, and Dream is Over from For Unlawful is the thumbs down. So that'll be very interesting. I'm just going to give it a quick shuffle here. And by quick, I mean
the shuffle
whole bunch
it up. We got to prime the wheel.
Yeah. So we're going to start off on Love Walks In. I'm hoping we don't hit Love Walks In. That's where the wheel is currently resting. So
it's so funny to see this. I know the listeners can't see this wheel, but every time we do a show, one of the tracks is gone from the wheel. And so the wheel gets a little bit smaller, but if you were to look at it right now, it doesn't look smaller at all. It looks relatively the same because there's still so many tracks.
There's 111 tracks still on it. So yeah, we got a little ways to go.
That's a lot. We do.
Fortunately, the journey is fun. So let's throw things over to Mr. Sammy Hagar.
Here we go.
The wheel is spinning and slowing down and stopping on. Oh, we're going to get Learning to See from Best of Both Worlds. So, again, out of three tracks, new tracks on Best of Both Worlds, this is now the second in nine episodes.
In nine episodes. I mean, I don't know what what is this wheel doing? What's happening?
I don't get it. I am at a complete loss.
The good news, I guess, or it's news, let's put it that way, is this is another one that it has gone under my radar, so I'm not 100% familiar with it by name. Now, if we start listening to it and I recognize it from past listenings, then that's one thing. But as of right now, I will be going into this pretty fresh.
I have heard this song quite a few times. I had, you know, I used to pop in Best of Both Worlds all the time. I don't want to tip my hand one way or another. I'm looking forward to going in with an open mind on this one. But this was one of the new tracks from Best of Both Worlds, which featured songs from both eras of Van Halen. Credited Sammy Hagar, Alex Van Halen, and Eddie Van Halen. And other than that, not really much is known about this one. So we can't really give you a lot of background. Of course, this was the last album to feature contributions from Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony, but I don't believe Michael Anthony played bass on any of the new tracks. So this is, again, Eddie playing lead, playing rhythm, and playing bass on this.
So we can probably assume that the bass line slaps pretty hard.
Yes,
because that's one thing we've learned. That's what Eddie liked to do. That's what Eddie liked to do when he's doing the bass tracks, is just go complete ham on it. And if you've heard us in the prior previous episodes about these songs that Eddie played bass on, you know that I'm not mad about it.
No, and neither am I. Obviously, he's a tremendous musician. I was really a fan of the first new song that was on this compilation. It's About Time, which is the first Hagar song we ever did. Mm-hmm. This is going to be the second now. Now with some reflection, I know you voted yes on it. Were you still really positive on that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, this will be interesting to see how I always kind of ranked them. It's About Time is always top, and I won't tell you how the other two went. But, again, it's been a while since I've heard this one, so I'm looking forward to giving it a shot, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. It's a Hagar tune, so I'm naturally predisposition to feel that this is going to go okay. Like, I think it's going to go okay. I think this is going to be a good one. But that also would imply that Hagar tunes are not without their flaws. And as you've pointed out, and as I already know, that's not the case. So I'll be very curious to see where this track takes us.
Now, it still boggles my mind that we have, 12 Van Halen studio albums and two greatest hits. And we've, in 9 shows, have pulled songs from virtually none of those. Nothing from Van Halen 2, Women and Children First, Fair Warning, nope. Diver Down, 5150, No U812, 4 Unlawful, or Balance. It's just been a couple off Van Halen, 3 off A Different Kind of Truth, 1 off Van Halen 3, and now 2 off of Best of Both Worlds.
I can't believe we haven't done any 5150. it doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, this is just nutty. What do you say we start learning to see and see what we got here?
Well, let's learn to see. I enjoy seeing, so let's learn how to do it better.
Your thoughts on the intro?
Ooh, it's like this is Eddie's Stairway to Heaven, River of Deceit, little guitar intro that he's not the Eddie guitar intros that we're used to hearing from classic Van Halen and stuff is something a little bit more. It's a little more rockin'. It's a little more. It gives you a hint of what's to come. I think about Ain't Talking About Love, that little intro there. I think about Pound Cake's intro, something like that. This was a little bit more deceptive, or a little more deceiving in the sense that he's like, I'm just gonna noodle a little bit. It's still gonna be, Eddie Van Halen flair. You still hear, and then all of a sudden, chug, 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 put a little stank metal on it, if you will. But yeah, I dig that. I dig the little sort of musical interlude at the beginning of it.
And I'm coming to expect that from Van Halen, where you get a little intro that segues into something completely different from what the bulk of the song is going to be. We've done other songs like that. And here again, you got this nice, mm-hmm. quiet little just noodling, and then into something really heavy.
Oh, yeah.
To me, I'm kind of like, what else is new? Because we've had that already before. Here we got another one. But I kind of like where we're going anyway. I like that heavy kind of dun, 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 dun. Like, that was working for me.
There's variety, though, I feel, in that intro. It's not, like I said, I don't think it's the typical Eddie Van Halen sort of guitar intro that we might be used to hearing, but there's variety in it, and I'm a big fan of the chugging there at the beginning of with the opening riff, I guess, as you would call it. But something I did notice, how heavy the bass line is. So now every time we have a song that we know Eddie has played bass on, like, that's where my brain is just focused now. It's like, all right, how does he play the bass on this one? And the bass is real heavy so far, so that's something to note.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's keep going.
Time we walk past the window and never see the ashes on the ground. Night after night, watching the sky move, but never feel the earth spinning.
All right, first verse, very Van Hagar, right? Like, you hear Eddie plunking away in the background, and you have some nonsensical lyrics. At first, I kind of got to feel like it's a retrospective type song, right? Like, you know, maybe Sammy's looking back on his career with Van Halen, or his music career in general. I don't know, what kind of vibe did you get from that?
Maybe it's just because here recently, I spent a lot of time listening to music of the 90s, a la grunge, alt rock. Just did a show where it was just a tribute to all of that. But this song screams 90s alternative to me. Not only that, not just in the music. Like, I got some Alice in Chains vibes. A little bit there. Maybe it's because of the chugging, the way it's done, but then the verse kicks in and Sammy is not singing as a typical Van Hagar tune would. Usually Sammy just comes right out of the bat. He's just giving you his full force. Even if he's not really trying so hard, he's giving it to you because the man's got, you know, an incredible range. In this, he is held back. He is, I won't say timid, that's not the word, but he's, you know, just got that kind of whispery, sort of whispery, like, oh, I'm feeling it, kind of feeling very, very soulish, feeling the music, while Eddie's back there doing, you know, this little ornamentation with the guitar, and I'm getting very big, like, 90s vibes from this. I don't know why. That's at least for this first verse, that's the vibe I'm getting. Do you hear it? Am I crazy?
No, not at all. I was kind of, so I'm thinking back to what Van Halen did in the 90s, which was Van Halen 3. And the song that's freshest in my mind is the song we just did on the show, which doesn't really fit the mood of this one. I kind of get up for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge vibes from this tune, which I guess was, you know,
that's,
yeah, fair. Like that was early 90s. So. I can definitely see that. And I think where the chorus is going to go is going to lead into that as well. Let's check it out here.
Yeah, I might change my mind entirely, but we'll see.
Yeah. see it, maybe a bit of a Soundgarden vibe in there. Is that kind of what you were getting at?
Yep. Yep. There it is. Yeah. Like they went from an Alice in Chains sort of, and then a little slight post grunge sort of feel, kind of like, you know, Days of the New Tantric sort of thing. And then, but then as soon as Sammy decides he's going to, you know, burst out of the his shell just a little bit, that's still, he's still not going full Sammy, as we know. But he came out just a little bit. Reserved, you use the word reserved. That's exactly what this feels like, but on purpose to fit the vibe of the song. It's still very, very 90s vibe to me. And honestly, again, as someone who's an enthusiast of that particular era of music, I'm not angry about it, but I wonder if that makes it a good Van Halen song. I'm not sure. I can't make a decision just yet.
I tell you, when you said Alice in Chains, though, that set off the alarm bell in my head. Like, yep, Alice in Chains, and that, I totally get that now. And then, yeah, Soundgarden, kind of more into the chorus here.
And then, yeah, the chorus, yeah, very much so. And maybe it's just because Sammy's voice to the particular, the way the song is structured musically, kind of gives a little Chris Cornell sort of aesthetic. So yeah, I definitely hear that.
Awesome. All right, let's keep going. Why do we harm the only thing we want to be? This is, oh, now that the grunge idea is in my head, that's all I hear. And I know last week you were saying Honey Baby Sweetie Doll sounds like it's too late. This song sounds like it's too late. It's 2004. You know, we shouldn't be listening to Black Hole Sun again, right?
It is 100% a 90s alternative song. This is that's what it is. And you're right. This is 2004. It's much too late. Which is a shame, but at the same time, it's not, because I'm kind of vibing on it a lot. Did you like the moment where Sammy decides to let out that just to let you know that he's still there? He's just like, don't worry, I'm still, it's still me, it's still I Can't Drive 55 Sammy Hagar, don't you forget it. And then also even Eddie in the background, he's just like, he's letting off those pinch harmonic squeals. He's like, it's still metal, I still got it, it's still me, don't you worry, it's fine. But the overall structure of the song, yeah, you just started reading off part of the lyrics. Yeah, this is, if you substituted, I'll be honest, when Sammy came in with that second verse, I forgot it was Sammy, because it didn't sound like him whatsoever. It sounded like, I don't know, name a vocalist from this particular era of music that we're talking about that could do it. If you substituted his vocals for Layne Staley and Jerry Cantrell's, this is 100% an Alice in Chains song. I don't know if they did that subconsciously. I have to imagine no, because this was 2004, and at that point, that particular style of music is long gone, or it's at least it's in hibernation. Let's put it that way. But yeah, man, I don't, I'm kind of, it's making me laugh listening to this just because, not that I think it's silly, I just think, where was their head at?
No.
And
here's something to consider, because they released Van Halen 3, which is very much, this is the music Eddie Van Halen wanted to write at that time. It was his first, and I think only sober album, right? And it was not, met with very much acclaim from fans or from critics. Is this a reaction to that? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I released the album I wanted to and nobody liked it. What's popular? Alice in Chains is popular. You know, Soundgarden's popular. Let's do something that sounds like that. You think it's maybe a reaction to negative reaction to Van Halen 3?
It could be, and it could be just Eddie's decision to try something different. And he knew, if I'm not mistaken, I think Alice in Chains and Van Halen went on tours together at some point. You can fact check me on that, but if I'm not mistaken, they did. And Soundgarden as well. So maybe in Eddie's sober mind, he's thinking, well, these two bands that we like got a lot of acclaim. And this particular era of music, like, people are really digging. That's not something that we do. So maybe we should try that. I don't know. Maybe there's something to it. Could be, or we could just be interpreting that completely differently. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of information on this song because there's not a lot of info to give.
But you're exactly right on one thing, though, is that Alice in Chains did open for Van Halen during the For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge tour in 91.
Well, there you go. And even though that was, you know, a decade earlier, still, I mean, those were prime Alice in Chains years. If I'm not, I could be wrong. Again, fact check me on this. I believe the album Dirt was around that time, or maybe it was a couple years after. If it was Dirt, then it would make sense, because that's like I said, that's when Alice in Chains were really hit their peak, because people were jamming that album a lot.
And Dirt came out in 92, so it would have been the next year. So they were working on Dirt when they toured with Van Halen.
So they were, okay, yeah. It would, that makes sense to me. So maybe they were influenced subconsciously even. Who knows?
And who opened for Van Halen on the 2004 Best of Both Worlds tour? Shinedown. Just a little tidbit there.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Shout out to Eric Bass out there.
Absolutely. All right, I think we're coming up to an Eddie solo here. Let's see if we keep following along with grunge, or if we get a classic Eddie solo here. Mark, I wish the viewers,
that wasn't a solo.
I wish the people listening could see your face when that solo's going on. You're like, oh,
because there's so much happening. First of all, that's not a solo. That was a series of what we call dive bombs. And what I mean by that is the whole the pinch harmonic starts off high and then goes real low, like it's a literal bomb dropping down. Like, we call that dive bombs, and Eddie just decides to do a whole bunch of those. But then he's also ripping it up with some sweeping on the fretboard. He's also giving us a little bit of that. Eddie is a big fan of utilizing the whammy bar on the guitar, and the whammy, I mean, for those dive bombs especially, but that's what the whammy bar is used to do. Is every time you hear a Van Halen song, you hear the guitar go whoo. He's literally just moving the whammy bar up and down for all of you not in the know about that. So he is utilizing that whammy bar quite heavily. It would not shock me if he's literally just holding his guitar by the whammy bar and just you know, shaking it. But also, I don't know if this is a personal statement with the solo, but he's certainly letting you know that that he's cutting loose. He's like, this song might feel a little bit on the, at this point, retro side, because, you know, it's definitely a 90s track that's set in 2004. He's like, it's retro, but let me give you a little tasty licks right here. Da-da-da-da. I did hear the bass part in this, and it's not very showy. Instead, the bass line is rocking to, it's sticking with the rhythm with Alex pretty hard. So that's kind of cool. He's not, he figures, why be showy with the bass when I can just rip it up on guitar? Because that's what I do. Sammy as well, that does a couple of things before this solo that, remember when I said he lets you know with that real quick ha, that he's still there? In this one, he's just like, nope, here I am. I'm crooning, I'm crowing, it's me. It's Sammy Hagar, and don't you forget it. The solo also, at the very end, Eddie even modulates to a different key and then brings it back. Which is a choice, and I think that's what you mean when you say you wish the viewers could or the listeners could view my reaction to that, because that confused the shit out of me. It worked. Don't get me wrong; it worked, but at the same time, I was thinking, well, that's a choice. I don't know why he decided to do that, because usually when the modulation happens, you're going to change the key and stick with that key change. He did not. He modulated, and then he went back to the original key, which is a nice kind of brilliant move, but at the same time, jarring. You know what I mean? It almost seems like you just went into a different solo of a different song. I don't know, but nevertheless, I'm not mad at this song. And then the last thing I'll say about this solo is, I still think if you took Sammy's vocals out and replaced it with Jerry Cantrell and Lance Staley, it's still an Alice in Chains song.
Well, jarring was a good word choice. I don't have the experience with you with the guitar, but it was just a lot. It just seemed like a lot. I was focusing on the drums and the bass, because that was kind of dry, you know. I was listening to the bass, because we talked about Eddie wanting to show off on the bass, but no, it was very much just a driving bass playing in the pocket with Alex, and that was kind of working. And then on top of it was all this shit, and I was like, it's kind of an assault on the senses. I can't even tell you right now if I dug it or not. it was something.
You know what it felt like to me, and I think we've mentioned it on the show before, the solo, or solos really, in Cult of Personality. Oh, yes. By Living Color.
Yep. Good call.
Where dude is just he's just giving you everything he's got. Yep. Whether it makes sense for the song or not, and then everyone else is keeping the rhythm steady so that he can just flow. That's what this felt like. This felt like, hey, Eddie, just flow. Just do what you do. And since he's playing bass, he's just like, okay, well, I'm sticking with Alex on this one. Cool, we gotta do this, because when I get on guitar, I'm just gonna go ape shit. And why not? When you're Eddie Van Halen, why wouldn't you go ape shit? Am I right?
Absolutely. The man has earned it, so... All right, we've got a minute 14 left to go in this thing.
We'll be right back.
My goodness. Learn to see.
I take it back. I take it all back. If you replace Sammy with Chris Cornell, this is a Soundgarden song. I take it all back. And I think, dare I say, I think Sammy channeled a little bit of Chris, especially towards the end there. I don't even know what to say. I wish I could just talk about what Sammy's doing vocally there, but I don't even know what to say about that. It sounds like he took a page out of Roth's book a little bit, that he's getting a little bit of inspiration from Cornell, and, you know, a little bit from Cantrell and Staley from Alice in Chains. I don't know, man. But you're right. This is not a song for the year 2000 for sure. But man, if they put this track out in 93, 94, holy hell, this is at the top of the charts. I guarantee it.
Well, it definitely got the Soundgarden vibes. I thought I was listening to Man in the Box from Alice in Chains at one point. Like, it definitely had
right?
that vibe,
yes.
Like, especially at the end there. Like, I thought that's what I was listening to. It's crazy.
And then it turned into Spoon Man.
Yeah, it turned into Spoon Man. You're like, what the fuck is this? I got to tell you, it was hard. You probably heard my eyes roll when Sammy was doing the whole, and I just got to be me. It's like, fuck off. Like, really? Come on.
No, I didn't hear or see the eye roll. I was too busy laughing and having my eyes closed because I was in such such humorous state.
This was a song. I'm curious to see how you're going to vote on this one, Mark. I think I got the lead off last time, so you can go ahead this week. Let us know. Are we dreaming another dream, or are we going higher and higher?
Well, honestly, I think this one's this one might be the most difficult one to judge. But I think I have an answer.
Okay.
That's right. I am voting yay. You know why? Because as much as I am poking fun at the song because it came out a decade and a few years too late, it's still a pretty rocking tune, I gotta say. And it is definitely not one I would expect from Van Halen. I feel like I say that a lot, but honestly, that's a testament to them as a band because they're trying new things. And as you pointed out, Eddie is sober at this point. Maybe he was influenced by the previous generation of rock bands that came about, that they toured with, that they made friends with. They saw, okay, this particular style works. You know, the days of the hair metal band, the glam metal, if you were, things like that, that's done. Like, party metal slash rock, that doesn't work anymore. Now it's about talking about how we really feel and how fucked up the world is. That's what it's about. Cool. I can write songs to that. That's what this felt like. And even though it's in 2004, we're still... Okay, let me tell you something, Corey. 2004, the mid or the early to mid-aughts, that's when the emo phase was starting to grow.
Well, this was emo art.
So I think, yeah. So I think maybe they were trying to channel something a little bit more into that vein, or at least Sammy lyrically, because this is definitely not something Sammy is used to writing that we are aware of as you know, Van Halen fans, or even Sammy solo. He's not usually one to get like that, a little like deep and dark. And if I'm wrong about that with his previous works, please let me know, listeners. Please let me know. I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem like that's the case. So, again, this reminds me of an era of which I am overly fond, so maybe it's biased voting. But even so, I dug this. I dug how weird it was and how out of place it seemed. I really like that solo despite its jarring nature. I like that Sammy does not sound like Sammy whatsoever. He's sounding like he's trying to channel Alice in Chains / Soundgarden, and that's fine. I'm not mad about it. But Corey, How did you vote this song?
Well, to me, it was pretty clear cut, and I'm going to have to... Fuck this song. Fuck
Shocker.
This song. Really? If I wanted to listen to Alice in Chains, I would fucking listen to Alice in Chains. Like, Jesus, this isn't Van Halen. Stop it with this poser shit. Van Halen's a party band. Southern California party band. Cut it out with this fucking emo bullshit. I just want to be me crap. No. No. Where's my Van Halen that I love? Fuck. No. Hated this song. This thing stinks.
Hashtag not my Van Halen.
Hashtag not my Van Halen. There was still good stuff in it. I kind of like the, you know, the drive in it. And I don't like, you know, hate 90s music at all, but that's not Van Halen. Quit trying to be something you're not. Just be fucking Van Halen. This song didn't do it. And it didn't give me warm, fuzzy feelings about Black Hole Sung or any other bullshit that came out in the 90s. I want a Van Halen tune. I don't want a Soundgarden tune. I got Soundgarden. I can go pop them on anytime I want. The lyrics were stupid. Sammy didn't sound great. Musically, obviously, it sounds fine. It's produced very well. These guys know how to play. The guitar solo was all over the goddamn place. You're not quite sure what's happening. That was an assault. I wasn't really a fan of that, but fuck this song. No, I didn't like Learning to See.
I'm not even upset with your decision whatsoever. I get it. I totally get it. At the same time, as I said, maybe it's because I've just been like steeped in 90s rock here lately because of the show I just did, and it's an era that I am very fond of, and this gave me those similar feels.
So let me ask you
I don't
this.
Know, man.
Let
I me just, ask
you this. The next time you get on stage and you're doing a 90s gig like that, turn to the band and say, hey, we should do Learning to See by Van Halen. It fits right in. Do you think they're going to want to play it? Are you going to want to sing it?
I would sing it. Yeah. I would absolutely sing it. I mean, I don't get a lot of opportunities to sing a Sammy Hagar tune. So
it's not a Sammy Hagar tune.
If I'm
feeling... We already established that. This is a Lane Staley tune. This is not a Sammy Hagar tune.
No, wait, I thought it was a Chris Cornell.
It could be
team.
A Chris Cornell. Yeah.
Either one. But yeah, no, I would absolutely do it. The problem I would find with you mention this song to a bunch of musicians, they're going to go, "What song is that?" Or they're going to go, "Oh, that's not 90s, bro." And like, "Yeah, but have you listened to it? It sounds like it's 90s." Like, "Oh, yeah, you're right." But then I think they would also have the same feeling as you do, where they're like, no, fuck that song. That's not Van Halen. We're not doing that. If we're going to do a Van Halen song, we're going to do a damn good Van Halen song. But look, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I dug this because of how weird and out of place it sounded. I don't know. I don't know how that excuses my previous vote. Because that was very much out of place, I thought, and just did not work for me. Whereas this one should have been a nay. It should have been, and yet, Corey, I really vibed on this.
See, and that's how I was last week with Honey Baby Sweetie Doll. I'm like, yeah. I should hate this. But I'm digging it. For some reason, it just got me. So for 2 weeks in a row, we're split, and kind of for the same reason. I really kind of wish our special guest was here this show, though. Because I wanted to see what they did with Learning to See. And I hope he hears this show so we could ask him next week. Like, did you hear last week's show? What do you think of Learning to See by Van Hagar? And I'm sure they would just rip it.
Please let us know. Probably. And I'm sure the other listeners are going to rip it a new one as well. I am quite sure I'm going to get chastised. But you know what? That's part of the fun of the show. Mm-hmm. That's what's so great about this, is that we can have a difference of opinion of all these tracks, and it's okay, because we all interpret these things differently. That's the beauty of music and of things like movies and things like that. It's all subjective, but we can enjoy it. We can have a conversation, a dialogue, so let's have that dialogue. For me, yeah, this song was a yay. For Corey, it was a nay, and that's okay.
That is okay. And I was probably a little harsh just for entertainment value, because I wanted to make Mark laugh with my whole fuck this song. It's obviously, there's much worse songs out there, and
I knew it was coming.
I still love Van Halen. Like, it's okay to not like a song or two and still love the band. And I'm looking forward to getting a Van Halen song, because we didn't get one this week.
Exactly. Yeah, I see what you did there. I was saying exactly like, yes, we can totally bash some of their tracks because not all their tracks are winners. If you tuned in for the Gary Cherone song, you know that that one was not a winner for us. That was a no-go. There will be plenty more of that. We haven't even finished that album.
We got a ways to go. Only had one track. Tuned. We got like 11 left off that one.
Yeah. There's also a few Sammy tunes that I know for a fact Corey does not want to discuss or listen to or talk about, and those are on the way. So be prepared.
And some Ross.
But also, we want to. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's no band is perfect. That's what we have talked about. Even one of the greatest of all time, not perfect. Yeah. It happens. They swings and misses. It's that's just a part of it. But we want to hear from you guys. Please let us know. Did you enjoy this track or did you absolutely hate this track? Do you feel like this would fit in and blend right into a 90s tribute show? Or do you feel like because it's specifically 2004, it should have no place in there? None whatsoever. Let us know. Hit us up at Podcast Will Rock on Twitter. That is our Twitter. And now, as Corey said at the top of the show, we have a website. Tell them more about the website, Corey.
PodcastBullRock.com. Like I said, it's just kind of new this week. We have all the episodes are going to be on there, of course. Hopefully maybe get some blogging done or something on there, some extra stuff. I'm hoping maybe Mark will link some of his performances from this past weekend on there so you guys can check out the great gig he had. I saw some of your clips on YouTube. You did a fantastic job. So hopefully we can get those up there real soon, too.
Oh, thank you. Maybe if someone has the full video of my performance the other night, I was performing Mad Season's River of Deceit. It was their only hit from that their only album, featuring the aforementioned Lane Staley. I thought it went pretty well, so if there's a full video of that, perhaps I'll find it, and I will upload it for your listening pleasure. And then you can rip me a new one for even daring to talk about Sammy and David Lee Roth's vocal style. It's fun. Before we get to our outros and our contact information, all that jazz, we told you at the top of the show we have an announcement. Corey, do you want to let that announcement happen now?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Earlier this week, somebody reached out to us from the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, and they invited us to join the Deep Dive Podcast Network. So we are now affiliated with a bunch of music podcasts. They're doing just what we're doing. They're taking deep dives into their favorite artists. Some are doing track by track. Some are doing just random things, but they're breaking down their favorite artists. And we're very, very pleased to be joining them as of today, the Deep Dive Podcast Network. You can follow them on Twitter as well. And find all the shows on YouTube. We're going to have all those links on our website. But I just wanted to give them all a shout out here. So you guys, if you're listening to this and you like more deep dive stuff, maybe you're thinking, hey, I'd like to hear one on Iron Maiden. How about Iron Maiden? Maiden A to Z is one of the podcasts on the Deep Dive Podcast Network. These guys break down song by song, and they're going alphabetically. So they're actually in the H's. They dropped the show as we record this. Holy Smoke and Hooks on You, Part 1. So they're just in the H's on episode 65. But it's a phenomenal show. One of my favorites.
Then they just did Hallowed Be Thy Name, and that's my all-time favorite Iron Maiden tune.
Yep, that was episode 64.
Well, I'm going to have to tune in for that.
Yep.
Yeah, of course it was. That's like, I've actually performed Hallowed Be Thy Name. You guys, they have a Black Sabbath podcast as well. You guys, I mean, you name it, these guys have it. We are super thrilled to be affiliated with them.
Sabbath Bloody Podcast.
Definitely check them out. That's right.
We got to shout out Rye from Sabbath Bloody Podcast because he did up all the key art for with our logo for us joining the podcast network. He did a fantastic job. I listened to his latest show today. It's really great.
Thank you.
The Deep Purple Podcast, Nathan and John, they're the ones that actually reached out and invited us on. So thank you very much, guys. I just listened to their latest show. It's excellent. I'm a big Deep Purple fan, so I'm really digging getting back into that one. Skynyrd Reconsidered. For all you Lynyrd Skynyrd fans, Clay is breaking down Lynyrd Skynyrd on Skynyrd Reconsidered. You can find that on the podcast network. T-Bone's Prime Cuts.
That's my favorite title.
Isn't that great? Oh, there's some great ones.
It's so great.
T-Bone's
it's
Prime so Cuts great. Is a show on here. He's actually doing some interviews. Yeah, he did an interview with Steve Cropper, who everyone might know, even from the Blues Brothers band. He played guitar. And John Oates, I think, was his latest interview. So I'm going to have to check that out. John Oates fucking rocks. That's going to be great. The Magicians Podcast, Uriah Heep.
Nashville, man. What up?
Uriah Heep Podcast. Now, I wasn't that big into Uriah Heep, but I was talking with Scott, the host, and he's actually, I think he posts two shows a week. Like, this guy's just prolific. And I was listening to War Child, or I think it was called War Child, on his show. And it was I really kind of dug the tune. Like, it was really cool. So I'm gonna have to start getting into some Uriah Heep. That's another show you can check out here. Are you familiar with Uriah Heep at all there, Mark?
Not a ton, but I know the name, and I know a little bit of it. But yeah, definitely that would be a fresh experience for me. So I'm looking forward to
now,
it.
Here's another one you might like. Are you a fan of Judas Priest?
Absolutely.
Metal Gods Podcast with George and Tom. Talking all things Judas Priest. And of course, they're in the news right now because they've decided for their 50th anniversary tour to go out as a four-piece, which a lot of fans are upset about because Judas Priest, you think two guitars, right? Like, how are they going to pull that off as a four-piece? So that's quite controversial right now.
I heard about this, and I, too, have thoughts and concerns about this. But, hey, honestly, if it would depend on which guitar player is going to take the reins. And, I mean, it can be done. It can absolutely be done. I mean, look, not for nothing, you guys, to unveil the curtain. A lot of times these bands have tracks playing with them during live shows. So, I mean, you might still hear the second guitar. It'll just be played on a track. And you take it or leave it.
Yep. They'll definitely be talking about that, though, on the Metal Gods Podcast. Diary of the Mad Men, Daniel and Josh talking all things Ozzy. Gotta love you know, Prince of Darkness, Ozzy Osbourne. That's a great show. Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast. So if you're a Chili Peppers fan, Ben and Sam are doing that show, Universally Speaking. I'm guessing you're a Chili Peppers fan. Is that correct?
Oh, I mean, what did I say? Like, the 90s era, that's 100... I mean, yeah, Chili Peppers definitely fall into that. I am very much looking forward to checking that show out. And I know I have a lot of friends out there, and I know you're listening. You definitely want to check out that show, because I know you are Chili Peppers fans.
We got a couple more to go. Have you heard of the band Hawkwind?
I'll be honest, no.
Me either. So I'm definitely checking out this show. It's called Hawk Binge. With Andy and Matt, and they're covering all things Hawkwind, a band I know nothing about. So that I'm going into that completely cold, and I'm looking forward to it.
I like the name, so yeah, I hope the music follows through with it.
and finally, I'm wearing my Queen t-shirt here tonight because we have a Queen podcast called In the Lap of the Pods, which is my favorite name for a podcast of all time. In the Lap of the Pods, Paul, David, and Joe breaking down all things Queen. They branched out, I guess, in other things, but the shows I was listening to were Queen specific, and it's a fantastic show. So there's kind of a rundown of all the shows. We're very happy to put our name in with them. Like I said, we'll link to all their podcasts so you can check them out. And please continue liking our podcast and checking us out and leaving us reviews. It'd be great to get some Apple reviews. You can leave us a review there, and a star rating would be great. Thanks to all these new listeners, we've hit the charts. We've hit the charts in America and Canada, Great Britain. We hit the charts in Thailand. We hit number 41 in Thailand, which is huge. We've got to try and get our Thailand numbers up, Mark.
I need for my Thai friends, I do have Thai friends, I need for them to spread the word, because we need to be at least in the top 20 in Thailand. That would make my heart so happy.
That's our goal. By the time we are done 120 episodes of Van Halen, we got to hit the top 20 in Thailand. We hit a number 11 in Canada for music commentary, so that's pretty good. We hit 51 in the States.
Yeah!
So I think that's pretty good, too, considering how many podcasts are out there. But
that's great. Yeah, there's so many podcasts.
But you know what? Forget America and Canada. We got to work on Thailand. I don't know. We got to tailor our show more towards Thailand somehow. We got to think of a way.
If you want the Deep Dive Podcast Convention in Bangkok, then we need to make this happen, you guys. Like, we absolutely need to make this happen.
Yeah, and the Podcastable Rock Fest will be happening in Bangkok, Thailand in 2024. So it's good to have goals.
It's going to be a good time. Goals is what separates us from, you know, the plebeians. But, yeah, that's our show. And if you want to contact us, as I said, you can try Twitter at the pod or at Podcast Will Rock. But if you want to contact us individually, Corey, where can the people find
you? They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CDMorset. And Mark?
At Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram as well. Be on the lookout for all the things going on with the podcast and with myself musically as well. And tune into the website. We have a website, and you will have access to all the other podcasts that Corey has mentioned from the show. We are so excited to be a part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. That is so cool. Very cool. Thank you guys so much. Be on the lookout for all the news. I'm sure we'll be updating you accordingly.
Yep, and look out for, hopefully, cross your fingers, a special guest next week. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's going to be great. Can't wait for that. And I can't wait for you guys to join us next time when we go through another Van Halen tune. Is it going to be a Hagar? Is it going to be a Roth? Is it going to be one of the other guys? The other guy. It's fine. Don't worry. The wheel only knows. We don't know, but all we know is that we want to rock, and the Podcast Will Rock podcast. That is us, and we will rock you later.